In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry a heavy burden. I will give you rest." He's constantly telling us this. He's constantly saying, "Give it to me. I want it. Just give it to me, and do what I ask you to do." And in 1 Peter 5:7, "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." We know that he cares for us, but many times we want to do it our way. In Philippians 4:6-7, he says not to worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done for you. I think we probably don't do that as much as we should, as thank God for everything that he does in our life. It's important for him to know that. And it's important for you to ask him for the things that you want and the things that you need. He knows what you need. In Psalm 55:22, it says, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you. He will not let the godly slip and fall." He wants us to be on that path, on that straight path, not to go right and not to go left, just be on that straight path that he has ordained for our life. In Isaiah 41:10, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you." We always forget that he's with us, I think. And don't be discouraged. We get discouraged, we forget that he's our Father and we can go to him at any time because he's right there. He says, "I will strengthen you." When we're so weak, he's strong. We don't know what he's doing in the supernatural. We have no idea what's going on up there, but he's working for our good. In Exodus 33:14, he even tells Moses, he says, "Everything will be fine. I will be with you." He constantly tells us that, but we don't believe it. We don't believe it in our heart. We have to believe that he is with us always. In Psalm 37:23, "The Lord directs my steps. The Lord directs the steps of the godly and delights in every detail of our lives." He does. He wants to ordain our steps always. Jeremiah 10:23, "I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own." Do we really know that? Do we really believe that? He says, We are not able to plan our course. We think we can. We think we can go head on and do what we want to do and not even think about what God wants us to do. And it's not, you know, we have to think about that. Proverbs 20:24. This is another one. The Lord directs our steps. So that's why try to understand everything. We try to understand everything. We can understand. His ways are not our ways. What he's doing, we don't understand. It looks in the natural, it looks horrible. And we're thinking, where is he? Why am I going around this? Why am I doing this again? Why? But we don't lean on him. We don't. We just say, we are going to do it ourselves. But he will guide us. He guides us always. Proverbs 3:5, "Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." Once again, don't depend on what you think. Depend totally on God. Totally on God. Isaiah 47:17, "I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is good for you, and he leads you along the path that you should follow." Constantly, he's constantly saying, "Follow me, come with me, come on, just do what I ask you to do, and you will have peace and harmony." And oh, but we don't believe it. We don't believe it. In Psalm 32:8, it says, and I'm shortening it, it says, "I will guide you, I will advise you, I will watch over you." These are all the things that he does all the time, constantly. Constantly. In 1 Peter 6:7, "So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up and honor." He's going to honor us. "Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares for you." I was trying to think of something in the Bible that I could talk about, and Luke 15:13 came to mind with a prodigal son. What did he want to do? He said, I'm taking that money. I want that money right now because I want to go spend it and have that good life, and I don't care about anything else, right? Until he had no more money. He had absolutely no money. He was thinking about eating pig slop because he had no money and he was hungry. And I'm going to read this. It's Luke, and it's 15:17. This is where he finally realizes something. When he finally comes to his senses, he says to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. It goes on to say, so he does, he returns home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. When we decide that we can do what God can do, that's a problem. We decide on our own. When I was 18, I had just graduated from high school, and I was pregnant, and I told my boyfriend, we're getting married. I didn't ask him. I didn't ask my mom. I didn't ask my God. I didn't ask God. I think he probably would have said, you know, you might want to hold off on that. This guy drinks too much, likes the women too much. But I was bound and determined that I was going to have a child. And I was going to have a name for that child. I don't care, hook or crook, it's my baby, and he's the father, and we're going to get married, and we're going to make it work. That was my plan. Right? That was my plan. That was my hard-headedness. So I knew after about a year, we were not going to make 50 years. I knew that. And so I decided I got to go to school. I had a job. It was paid me $1.25 an hour. That was minimum wage back then, $1.25 an hour. And I said, $1.25 an hour, minimum wage. And I said, no, I'm not. Once again, it was me. I'm not going to do that. I got to go to school. So I told my husband, I'm going to school. The quickest way to get more money was to go to school for me. So I decided I'm going to become an LVN. That was a year. You could go a year. You'd go every day for 1 year from 8 to 3. And I said, I can do this. So I registered, I passed the test, and then I found out that I was pregnant. And I told my husband, I'm not having this baby. I have a child right now, and that child is so rambunctious, I want to go to school. This is getting in my way. I did not consult God, and I didn't care. I said, get an abortion, that's it, okay, end of story. Didn't ask him, I told him. So I did, and I went on my merry way. I went to school, didn't even think twice about that. I went to school, finished school, got a job, and about a year later, I was divorced. And I said, I'm patting myself on the back because I said, that's a good job, Sylvia. You'd have two children, a single mom and two children. How are you going to do that? Good job. Not a good job. So I did well, and then I got pregnant again. And I said, no, I'm not marrying this guy. I don't want to have anything to do with getting married again. So once again, I had another abortion. And this time, God said, what are you doing? Where are you going? And I felt horrible, terrible. I didn't know what to do, and there was nothing I could do. I asked God to forgive me over and over and over. That was when I was in my 20s. 47 years. I was 47 years old, and I went to an axe retreat, still carrying all this with me. And the axe retreat, if you don't know what it is, it's a Catholic axe retreat, and you go and you commune and you fellowship with other women and you pray and you get closer to God. And they decided on the third day that they were going to have a priest there, and you could confess to the priest. So I decided, I have to do this. I have to do this. So I was probably the last person to go. It was like up the stairs, just like this. It had a big black curtain, and it was very dimly lit. And it had a chair here and a chair there. And when I walked in, the priest was sitting right there with his long gown. And I go in, and I say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been years since my last confession. And I started crying and wailing, and I fell at his feet. He didn't even know what to do. He had no idea what to do. He said, I looked up at him, and he said, this has never happened before to me. He says, I've waited all my life for someone to come here and do this. He says, when you talk to me, you talk to God. God forgives you for those abortions that you had. And I kept crying and wailing, and I just couldn't believe that God could forgive something like that. How could he forgive something like that? He can't. I thought, no way. So he gave me my penance, and I went and I did my penance, which was Hail Marys and Our Fathers, and I sat there and I said, I don't believe it. I didn't receive it. And I went another year, and God kept telling me, I've forgiven you. I've forgiven you. You have to forgive yourself. You must forgive yourself. And finally, after a year, I did forgive myself. To come up here and tell you this, I haven't said anything to anyone. No one's ever heard that story. Not even my family knows this story. But it's what I had to do, and God said, you have to do it. It's time for you to share. And I ask you, when you have a decision to make, like getting married, getting divorced, getting an abortion, you have to ask God. Get God in the mix, because you're going to screw it up every time. It's not going to go your way. It won't. You think that you've got it planned. You've got it all planned out, and God has another plan for you. He constantly has a plan for you. Just go where he wants you to go. Do what he wants you to do. Pray all the time. I pray all the time and ask God, now lead me, guide me. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do, but you do, and I have faith in you. That's what he asks us to do. Have faith in him. He is a good God. He's not a liar. He will come through for you. You won't have to keep going around that same mountain. You won't have to go down that road anymore if you pay attention and if you do what God asks you to do. I do have a prayer of surrender that I'd like to read. And if there's anyone here that wants to surrender to God, I don't care whether it's been on your mind for a week or 25 years, you know, and if it's a burden to you, I'd like for you to come up to the altar so I can just pray this prayer of surrender for you. This picture, I have at my house. I love this picture because it always reminds me of where I'm supposed to be, where you're supposed to be, always there, humbly surrendering to him, always know who he is, know who you are, and where you're supposed to be. Amen. So if you want to come up.
Hold on. Listen. Surrendering doesn't mean that you've never given your life. This is not what it means. When you're surrendering, you're saying, Lord, I need you in this area to work. We carry some things sometimes that we don't want anybody to know. But God knows the deep things of your heart that's in your soul as well. Surrender that area. That's what this is about. She told her testimony that she's carried for a long time that no one knew. She surrendered that part of her soul, her emotions, that part of her life. She surrendered it. Search yourself right now. Is that something that you have within you? Give me a thumbs up, George Riel. Those of you on Facebook, you've heard a testimony of something that's very, very strong and something that takes place a lot of times in people's lives. It's time for you to surrender that to God and allow him into that very area of your life. Let him get to the very crevices of your life. You know the things that we hide, the things we don't want anybody to know. That's the very area that he wants to get into. Surrender it. It is your time now to surrender it. Right where you're at, whether you're driving, pull off to the side of the road. And be prepared to surrender this thing. If you're at home, just all you have to do is surrender to him. We're not asking you to join anything. We're not asking you to say whether you're saved or unsaved. Doesn't matter. I'm not asking your religious background. Just to surrender that very area that has been very close to your heart and that's deep within your soul that you didn't want anybody to know about. But you're saying, God, I want you right now to touch this very area of my life because I surrender it to you. It is your time now. Your time now.